Does that look centered? I'm OCD, so that means obsessive compulsive. So what a blessed morning. How many of you are nice and warm? Yeah. Hello. Tell ya, I'm warm. You don't mind, do you? Hi, Billy. Good, I'm doing okay now. I got my jacket off. Wasn't that the Karen children singing? Wasn't that incredible to hear them sing? That's incredible. I'm just, wow. I mean, that's from our Sunday school group. And I tell you, I'm so excited about that group and what God is doing there. It's amazing to see what God's doing. Speaking of Sunday school, there is no more Sunday school for the summer. And so you want to take note of that. It is complete. Unless you're part of Rev Dev's baptism membership class, you get to go on and on and on and on. It's so great through the summer. No, it's not through the summer. Don't worry about it. Just for the next couple of Sundays. Great. We're doing a series on busyness. And it's great for me personally because I had to kind of go through a few motions and emotions in order to deal with some busyness in my own life, and I hope you're going to enjoy this series we started last week. But has this ever happened to you? You're at a function, and someone comes up to you and they ask all sorts of questions. And you know that as they're asking the questions, that they've already determined something about you. They basically have placed you into a box. You know, like, I'll be at something, and, you know, and it'll, even a family reunion, and I'll be chatting away, and somebody will go, "Oh, you're a religious person." You know? To put you in a box. Or, you know, "Oh, you're a mother." You know, "Hello, I've got children in mind. What do you think?" You know? Or, "You're a father." You know? Placing you in a box. Ever happen? You know, kind of put you into a category. Well, Tony Campolo, a Philadelphia sociologist, was at a very sophisticated academic gathering at the University of Pennsylvania. And he really didn't want to be there, and he felt kind of at times uncomfortable with all the kinds of conversations that would go on. And he didn't even know if he should bring his wife along. But there was this woman colleague of his. She also taught sociology. She struck up a conversation with Tony's wife. And see, Tony's wife was a stay-at-home mother, and which really this whole conversation that ensued really made it worthwhile for Tony. Because at one point, the lady, his colleague, turned to Tony's wife and asked this question in a very condescending, limiting tone. "And what is it that you do?" And I'll repeat it just for you on this side. "And what is it that you do?" You know, kind of that facial expression that, oh, you know. To which Tony's wife articulated, "I am socializing two homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be the instruments for the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation." And then she turned to this professor and politely said, "And what is it that you do, my dear?" To which the sociologist sheepishly said, I teach sociology," and walked away. You talk about getting out of the box. That's where we're heading today. We need to start living a productive life. But in order to do so, you need to get out of the box that people have put you in. I invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Great passage of scripture. 1 verse 26. I'm going to start. And I just invite you to turn this in the very beginning of the Bible. And Genesis 1. You're going to go, "What? How's he getting productive business out of Genesis 1? Look at verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. You guys don't want to be called bad. You all knew it would be very good because our God is a good God. Productive busyness develops fruit. Develops fruit. It's a great passage of Scripture, which I know is often used for premarital courses. Be fruitful. And then it's forgotten. But I want you to think about this for a moment. God said, develop fruit. Be fruitful. You think about this. Multiply. Could God be asking for much more than physical multiplication? What about spiritual multiplying? Developing other people who will worship and love the Savior. We're productive when we're busy being fruitful. You know, everybody today, everybody says, I'm busy, I'm too busy, I'm really busy. You know what? We may be pleased with our busyness, but that doesn't mean that God is. There's got to be more than life than just being so busy. I don't know, I'm a Christian. I don't know how much more I can take of this. I'm just so busy. Oh, I just hope I can make it through until Jesus comes back to get me. I'm so frustrated, I'm worn out, I'm burned out, I'm just so busy. Yeah, praise God, I'm busy, yeah. You know what I think? I think one of the reasons we're busy is because we're trying to impress somebody we don't even like. Come on now, huh? Come on. We do things because we think we should or we ought to, but we haven't even asked God if we're supposed to. Because we're afraid. Most people are afraid to really follow their heart. They're afraid to be led by the Holy Spirit. We're into Pentecost now, by the way. We're afraid to be led by the Holy Spirit. And you know why? I think it's because if an individual started really being led by the Holy Spirit, you'll find that you may not fit into the little box that everybody's always trying to put you into. And if you don't fit in that little box, and you fit in what God has made and created you to be, you will be productive. You will be. In fact, turn to, I hope I can keep my spot just a minute. Turn to John chapter 15. In the Old Testament. Sorry, I want to see if you're awake. John chapter 15, turn in the New Testament. See, I'm helping equip you. John chapter 15, let's take a moment here. These are the words of Jesus. Great words. I'm the true vine, and my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The demonstration of a disciple of Jesus Christ is bearing fruit, multiplying. The TNIV puts verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, Jesus said, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We're trying to go it alone way too much. And we come to God and we say, God, I really want this in my life. And God says, okay, well then, you go this direction. No, I don't go that direction. I want to go, just give me the easy route, God. I don't want to go down there. I don't want to be pruned. But you want to bear fruit, don't you? Yeah, but I don't want the pruning. I don't want to be pruned, God. I just want the fruit. Well, you can't have the fruit. I'll give you more fruit if you'll let me prune you, God says. And I don't know how that's shaped for you. I don't know how the pruning is. I mean, maybe it's something very unpleasant. Maybe it's coming out of your box that everybody's putting you in. I've seen where God will call somebody to do something, and then people start making them feel guilty because they're not doing everything exactly the same way that everybody else has done it or doing it. Like, for instance, I had a service, and at the end of the service, there was a call for if God is calling you to Christian service. And a young lady, age 19, she actually came forward. She stood at the front. There was a few others, but she stood out in my mind. So we prayed, and then that day she said to me, she said, I feel God really wants to be a missionary. God wants me to be a missionary. He's bred me for this. I really want to be a missionary. She's 19. And I was so excited with her. I said, this is great. I said, how can I help you? And she went home and she told her mom. Her mom was a single mom. And she went home and she said, Mom, I went forward to, I want to be a missionary more than anything else. God has called me to be a missionary. I went forward with that. Mother said, really? Yeah. I'm going to phone one of the church leaders' wives. And so she picks up the phone and she phones one of the church leaders. You won't believe it. My daughter came forward, age 19. She said she wants to be a missionary. That's what she wants to do. She believes God created her for that very purpose, be a missionary. And that church leader's wife said, oh, come on. She's more intelligent than that. She's got smarts. She could be a doctor. She'd be something much more and greater in her life. I don't mean to be putting down missionaries. Don't understand. This is what this person said. They talked her out of being a missionary. I got a call from her about 6 months ago. She's left her husband. And she said to me, I'm just trying to find my way in life. I don't know what God wants from me. I said, you really don't? She said, oh, I did. She said, I should have been a missionary. But I couldn't because I didn't fit the mold. See? Everybody has a little box that they want to put you in. Amen? You know what? You don't have to live in somebody's box. Did you hear? You don't have to live in somebody's box. Amen? Now you said amen to that. I tell you, I heard a story about this. There's this preacher in India. Heard a story of a little boy. Something wrong something happened to him physically and it crippled him. And so his mother put him in a box. It was like a crate, and she tied a rope around it. And she tied the rope around her waist. And everywhere she went, she dragged that little guy along. Right? She was crippled, and so he kept on kind of shifting the box and trying to get out. And he was determined, and he kept rocking the box. And he rocked the box a little more. And all of a sudden, boom! The box he would get out of the box. Bro, this went on for years, and he just rock it and smash it, and rock it. And one day he rocked it hard enough, it just landed right over. And he rocked it at the point where he got out, he crawled over, crippled. Remember the doctor said he's crippled? Got out, he crawled over a table, and he got on a chair, and he stood up, and he ended up walking because God healed him because he refused to stay in that box. Some of you have a box that you need to rock. You need to rock the box. Say, I want to rock my box. Oh, you people. Everybody wants to put you in a box. Do you agree? Like, I mean, you know, like we were candidating in a church this number of years ago. We were at the church and it was Sunday morning. And quite, things were going okay in the weekend. We arrived on the Sunday morning and I get to the church. Everybody's around Joan, my wife. Just a little crowd. All around her. I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. Everybody's just kind of welcoming her. Me, you know, her. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. You know, everybody's around Joan. And, you know, I was like, hey, I'm preaching this morning. And nobody cared. I mean, so we were driving, like we made a decision that, you know, we're going to talk about it. We're going to pray about it and talk about it, whether God wants us there or not, and discuss it later. And we had had a set time. And so we're driving back. And I said to Joan, I said, what are your first premonitions? What are your thoughts? What are you thinking? And she said, well, kind of a nice church, good place, seemed friendly. I said, you know, speaking of, I said, there was a little crowd gathered around you. I said, what was that all about? She said, oh, well, they just were wondering how long I played the piano. And I said, oh, that's funny. I said, I didn't know that you played the piano. She said, I don't. They just put me in the box. Because every preacher's wife is supposed to lead the ladies' group and play piano. Didn't you know that? But what if that's not what they're called to do? That's why we got to rock our box. You get it? Stop saying you're busy. Start saying, I'm going to be productive. I'm going to start multiplying. I'm going to start being fruitful. I'm going to start leading people to the kingdom. And maybe you start saying that you'll be fruitful. This will begin happening more in your life. You will be fruitful, more productive, and you'll get out of your box. Productive busyness develops fruit, but it also declares authority. I love this. God said, let us make human beings in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Say, I have authority. You do. You have the authority to rule over your time. You have authority of how you use your time. You have authority over all living things. All those fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the livestock, all the wild animals, all the creatures that move along the ground. You have authority. Now, I know we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to take care with our spouse. We have responsibilities with our families. We have responsibility, with God. I mean, our relationship with Him. But when God calls you to do something, there is something in you that will not be satisfied until you do it. I'm going to go back to that 19-year-old. Called me 6 months ago. Did you know that she's scouring right now to find a mission organization where she can actually serve God with how she's been created to be a missionary? She is brilliant. She'll make a great missionary for servant for the Lord. See, when God calls you to do it, He'll not only give you what you need to do it, He will prepare everybody around you that has anything to do with it. God will make a way. If you're determined, God will make a way. But I was thinking how sometimes we don't declare authority enough. Like, and you know, this is where balance comes in. I mean, I was thinking about how we need to balance out our person so that we're not wasting our time. I mean, I received a number of years ago a great, I got to take a sip, a great, it was a gift from a valued leader. And it was a promotional bag that he, kind of an attaché case or something, like a briefcase. It was a promotional company, gave it to him, and he wanted to thank me, and so he gave it to me thinking I could carry my Bible, my notes, and all the things that I carry. And he attached a note to it, and the note said, thanks, and then his name. See, now this is what I'm talking about, balance. See, because if that had been me, the note likely would have gone something like this. Dear so-and-so, I received this case from a promotional company. I didn't need the case, so I thought of you. After much prayer and pondering, I felt led to give you this case because you'll likely use it much more than I would. I hope you like the case because there are dividers in it to put pens in, notes and folders, even room for your Bible. I know you get a lot more use out of the case than I would get out of the case. So here you go. Here's a promotional case just to say thanks for all the things you've done for me. I hope you enjoy the case. There are many who love to do that. And I'm one of them. And so I have to continually learn to be a bottom line person and get to the point. Not maybe more, a little bit more than some need to encourage a little more than just thanks, you know, but get to the point and be productive and take authority over my time. See, and use your God-given authority to balance your life. Balance it out. Verse 28, the Amplified says, "And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth." God didn't say, be busy, be frustrated, fretful, be aggravated. God said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, using all of its vast resources in the service of God. I love that part. God said, everything I've given you, I want you to use it to serve me and help people. What are you doing to help people? And then it goes on, it says, and have dominion. In the book of Genesis, God gives us authority. He says, you are not to be ruled, you're a ruler. If I can't even manage, I mean, if we can't manage our time, I mean, if you can't get authority over your remote control, how do you think that you can cast out demons? I mean, you know, I can't get this thing to work. I mean, you know, get a grip on your life. Quit just going around frustrated and busy, and at the end of every day you feel frustrated and empty because you ran all day long and you can't even tell anybody what you did. I mean, we say, I'm so busy, I haven't done anything. You know, we do. I'm so busy. What have you done? I don't know, I haven't done anything. If you have a deep desire, something God has put in you, then you're denying God if you just stay busy doing all the other stuff that you think you need to do because you're in a box. God said, you can develop fruit. You can have authority, but you got to use it. This is so important. This is so critical in order to be productive. Because I believe God is saying, if you don't rule and reign, if you don't take authority over the things in your life, if you don't have dominion, everything else is going to rule your life. And you'll never get around to developing fruit. We need to grow and be productive. I don't want to go to heaven by myself. I want people to come along. I want them to meet Jesus. Because he's the one who delivered me, sustains me, protects me. He fills me with his peace. He grants me comfort. He shelters me during the times of storm. And he gives me the greatest joy unknown to anybody. Why would I not want everybody to have what I've got? See, that's developing fruit. That's using the authority I have in Christ. We've got to live the Christian life. Not talk about it, but live it. God wants us to live developing fruit and declaring our authority. And in order to do that, we need to spend time with God. Spend time with God. Say it with me. Spend time with God. Again, spend time with God. That's productive busyness. Let's pray. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask Brandon, Pastor Brandon, if you'll come and just start playing. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe this morning it's all about balance for you. Maybe you've got a strong personality. You know what? There's no way you're going to be nice to people if you don't spend time with God. I mean, it won't happen. Maybe you're more passive, maybe just a little bit lazy. You ain't going to do anything if you don't spend time with God. Because you just don't feel like it. And if you're going to go beyond your feelings, you better spend time with God. And then there are those who are just easygoing. You just kind of don't want to ruffle people's feathers. You go along with whatever. You got to spend time with God so you get the gumption. The gumption to stand up. Confront what you need to. We got to spend time with God if we have any hope of getting out of the box that people create for us. Got to spend time with God to be productive and live that productive life. Maybe God is calling you to be a missionary, but you're a little scared to even tell your parents because they got a box for you to fit in. Maybe God's calling you to pastoral ministry, but you're afraid because you're going, oh no, I better do something different because I don't know if I can even do that. I don't know if I can stand up in front. I don't know if I can care for people like that. Maybe you need to jump out of your box, rock it, and break it today. Get out of your box. The people and society's putting you in. And spend time with God. You know, if you're too busy for God, then you're definitely too busy. This morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you're saying, God, I'm going to rock my box. I'm going to rock it. I'm going to rock my world, God. I know I am because I know what you've created me to do. I know it right now. And I'm too afraid to stand up for it. God, give me the gumption to stand. Maybe for you it's spending time with God. Maybe, God, you know, I just, you know, I'm busy. I got all these events to attend. I got all these parties to go to. I got all these business things I got to look after. And God's, I can't spend time. Maybe today you're saying, God, I need to spend time with you so I can orchestrate my schedule better. I'm going to stand, God. I'm going to stand on my schedule. I'm going to put you first and spend time with you. Maybe for you, it's just you got so caught up in the busyness, the little things. And it's become a big thing. And God's just kind of taking a back seat right now. And you're trying to go it alone and you're wondering how you can do it anymore. You're feeling worn out, played out, and you're ready to cop out. It's time for you to stand. Say, God, no longer am I going to be busy with things that don't matter. I'm not going to get caught up in my business, God. I'm just going to get caught up in you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you if you're willing to say any of those things, and you're willing to say, God, I'm going to stand. I'm going to take authority. Would you just stand up? Where you see, would you just stand up and say, God, I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand right now. I'm going to take authority. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to do this. Lord bless you. Lord, just stand. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to get to declare, God, I'm going to start spending time with you. I'm getting rid of this busyness that I've been so caught up in. I'm going to get out of the box, God. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to get out of the box. Just stand up where you're seated. Just stand. God, I've been caught in busyness and I've been lamenting my busyness. But Lord, I need to reevaluate that. And look to see where I've been productive. Maybe you need to reevaluate today. Maybe you need to stand up and say, I'm going to reevaluate. Just stand up where you're seated. Just stand up. Yes, Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God sees all of you stand. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand. Just keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. Just stand. Father God, as a church, we recognize right now it's very easy to get busy. The world would have us get busy with all the things that they lay in front of us, God. And we recognize that there are those things that would detract us from spending quality time with you. Lord, there's even ministry time that becomes so busy for us. We're so caught in the box of being busy ministering that it can take away our quality time from you, God. May that not happen. We stand right now as your people here today, God, declaring that we do have authority over our schedules. And we need to be more productive at multiplying, bearing fruit for you. And God, whatever way that is, maybe it's just inviting somebody to summer jam. Lord, maybe that's just being part of Sunday school. I don't know how that shapes for us. Maybe that's just being in our business, living our life and our walk just the way we are. that our walk matches our talk. I don't know how that matches up, God. But one thing, God, we do know is that if we spend time with you, we will be productive, even if we are busy, because we'll get out of our box and we'll stay in tune with you. Lord, bless us as not only as we leave here, but bless us, God, while we are here, not just for this moment, but throughout this week, as we glorify you with who we are. May we be who you created us to be, God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.